Hey folks, welcome back to Americanon. As always, I'm your host, HVK. No, I am not back on a regular basis. The kids are not allowing me as such. I just had to do a random one-off episode when I had the opportunity because just like lamenting and mourning the death of the great Akira Toriyama, there is another death, not of a person this time, but of a franchise. One of my favorites, Warhammer 40K, because Warhammer 40K has, well, officially gone woke. Now, let me start off by defining woke, because everybody always argues about this. Woke literally means that all moral and virtue and all good, effectively, comes from the principles of DIE, of DIE, diversity, inclusivity, and equity. And you put those up on the pulpit, you put those up at the position of a deity, and you are worshiping those because that is what makes you moral, that is what makes you virtuous, that is what makes you good. And that's why so many companies at profit losses continue to move towards the diverse, inclusive, representative, equitous sort of environment. It's not for financial reasons, it's for cult religious reasons. Keep that in mind as we talk about this, because this will cost Warhammer money. But now you may be asking, well, how did Warhammer go woke? Did they finally make female space marines? No. They found the next best thing in some way. Just for those who don't know, the uninitiated, there are gender-only factions within Warhammer. There are the space marines, male-only, for decades-old in-game lore reasons that make sense, that go all the way back to the fact that men and women are genetically different and women are not capable of surviving the genetic enhancement process to become space marines. That's why there are no female space marines. Point blank, like that's the reason. But there are also female-only factions, such as the Sisters of Battle or the Sisters of Silence. But most of the factions, frankly, aren't even human, because you have demons, and you have Chaos Marines, and you have Tyranids, and you have Orcs, and you have Tau, and most of these, all these other alien races, Eldar, but everybody remembers the, forgets the Space Fairies, all of these other factions, they all want to kill, enslave, or eat mankind. So when people turn around and they start saying that the humans in Warhammer 40K are fascist or whatever, I don't even engage with those conversations anymore, because the reality is they live in a universe where mankind is literally fighting for its very survival. It isn't about huggy bear inclusivity nonsense. Frankly, the Emperor and the Imperium as a whole don't care who gets genetically modified and put through the meat grinder to make sure that humanity survives. It just so happens that the process only works on men. That's why there are only male space marines. It's not for, you know, we hate women reasons. It's because, well, we would love to have twice the amount of meat for the grinder, but, you know, that whole XYXX chromosome thing, we were just never able to have a workaround for that. But they found the next best thing. They have decided to introduce female Adeptus Custodes. So if space marines are giant genetically modified human tanks, Adeptus Custodes are more genetically modified, bigger human tanks. That's basically what they are. And they are exclusively there to guard the Emperor of Mankind, his corpse on the Golden Throne. And what's interesting about it, again, going back to lore reasons, is that the Adeptus Custodes were taken as infant sons, the original Adeptus Custodes, infant sons from noble houses, from around the galaxy, that these people were, you know, modified and raised to literally be just walking weapons to defend the very interior of the Imperial Palace where the Emperor's body is. Never a mention of a daughter being there, but apparently they're like, oh, and somebody on Twitter called this out and said, since when is there female custodes? And Games Workshop official Twitter responded, ever since the inception of the original 10,000, there have always been female custodians. So we've moved on from, well, we can't get around lore reasons, to just, well, we'll just lie about it, which may sound ridiculous to you, but because why lie about it? Like I said before, they're not going to make money off of this. I'm not going to buy any new models or novels from Warhammer. I haven't for quite some time until this whole female space marine argument was finally put to bed, but the reality is they're not going to make money off of it. the reason is because, as I said before, they are looking up at the holy D-I-E, the holy die, right? And they want to be inclusive and representative and all these things. And I'm going to speak briefly about the idea of inclusivity, and I'm coming at this from a military background. So if you'll allow me just this moment to pontificate. When you try out for a special operations unit, or you try out for something like EOD or SEER or whatever it is, something where it's airborne, something that's a level above the standard conventional forces, right? You have to go through a series of tests and a series of very difficult trainings to make sure that you are capable of carrying out what they want. They weed people out because the demands are so high. You know, when I went through SEER, they said something like out of every 100 people, only 7 people will make it through. Things like that, right? When you look at PJs have something like a ungodly high washout rate. I want to say like only 5% of the people that try out make it through, some ungodly low number like that. Now, does that mean that they're not inclusive? No, they are not inclusive. They don't want everyone. Everyone can try out, equality of opportunity, but not everyone gets in. In fact, most people don't get in. And that is what makes our special operations great, that exclusivity, because you're only looking for the best. Now, let's extrapolate that to pop culture for a second. If I create a universe, let's say a universe that is constantly at war, and I create all these very exaggerated factions, and it's got a hyper-violent story and all these things, this is what I've created. I have created this thing. Anyone is free to get into it. However, typically, that sort of highly militarized, hyper-violent sort of strategy game slash, you know, conquest victory sort of thing is going to attract a certain demographic. That demographic is usually male. That's who Warhammer attracted. The same way comics attracted mostly men. There are things that men and women intrinsically have as different. Now, you have to remember that these people are Marxists. They're cultural Lysenkoists, which is a difficult word to say. And that means that they don't believe that anyone is born with different talents, that men and women have naturally have different interests. They believe that everything is socially constructed, which means you can deconstruct it, which means that you can just basically create the quote-unquote new man and new woman, and just everyone will be equal and everyone will be the same. And that's demonstrably untrue. So when you make something, you make it because you want to make the thing what it is. And the people who are interested in that sort of thing will find it. If they happen to be mostly men, if they happen to be mostly women, then that's what you have. That exclusivity, though, right? You have made a thing, and you're not trying to appeal to everyone. You have made a thing, and the thing is what it is. They did this with Warhammer, and it's what made Warhammer a fantastic tabletop game. They did it with Battletech, and that's what made Battletech a fantastic tabletop game. When Magic was created, Magic the Gathering was like that, and that's what made Magic a great tabletop game. It was not about trying to appeal to everyone. It was about, this is what the thing is, and the people that like it will like it, and the people that don't, won't, and we're not going to try to appeal to everyone, because it doesn't make you a bad person to not try and appeal to everyone. But now, because we all have to worship at the altar of DIE, that means that if you're not trying to appeal to everyone, and you're not being diverse and inclusive, and you're not being representative, that means that you are amoral, it means you are not a virtuous person, and it effectively means that you are bad as an individual, or a company, or an institution. And that's why we all have to kneel for it. And that is now why Games Workshop is just outright lying to the fan base, saying there have always been female custodians, when there have demonstrably not ever been female custodians. So the orcs have smashed through the gates of the Imperial Palace, and the demons are among us now. But if you're anything like me, you can't give up, and you got to continue to fight the good fight, and we have to continue to call these sorts of things out. That's half the reason I did this episode, to make sure people are aware and to call it out for the lie that it is. And we also have to make sure that we don't continue to financially support it. I know a lot of people, from what I saw, have already been canceling their Warhammer Plus subscriptions. That's great. I haven't bought models in quite some time because A, they were getting very overpriced, B, because I still have a bunch of models in stock that I have yet to finish painting and assembling, and 3, because I knew that this culture war issue with Games Workshop was ongoing, and I knew it was only a matter of time before they pulled some serious shittery. I just never imagined that they would resort to outright lying to their fan base. But I'm not going to be buying any new novels because, like I said, we have to speak, or I've always said, you have to speak with your wallets, and that's the best way to do it. I'm HVK. If you happen to like this episode, please consider passing it around. As the salamanders say, into the fires of battle, unto the anvil of war, the end.